We're starting a new sermon series today. We're calling it The Road to the Cross. Easter is just 4 weeks away. And I was mentioning earlier how that the cross is so central to everything that we believe as Christians. You take the cross out of the story and there is no Christianity. You take the cross out of the story, there is no salvation. You take the cross out of the story and nothing else matters. It's central to everything that we believe. It was so important that Jesus left heaven in order to travel the road to the cross. That when there were those who tried to dissuade him, when Peter tried to say, "No, Lord, we're not going to let you go and be sacrificed and die. No, that we can't let that happen." Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan," and rebuked him. And the Bible said that Jesus set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem, toward the cross. We just partook of the communion. And as Jesus is partaking of the communion, as he's giving it to his disciples, as he's thanking God for the cup that he's about to drink, he is focused on the cross. And so that's what we want to do over these next few weeks. We're going to be focusing on the cross, the meaning, the purpose, the reason behind the cross, and ultimately what that means for us, what our responsibility is because of the cross of Jesus. This morning, I want to really focus in on the concept of really what the main purpose, what the main reason, why did Jesus go to the cross, and what does that mean for us? And here's how I want to introduce this concept. I want to do it in terms of asking three questions. And the first question I would ask you is, what is the greatest concern of hell? The second question is, what is the greatest joy of heaven? And the third question is, what is the greatest responsibility here on earth? What is the greatest concern of hell? What is the greatest joy of heaven? What is the greatest responsibility that we have here on the earth? And I want to tell you right now that the answer to all three of those questions is the same answer. The answer is soul winning. The greatest concern of hell today is winning the lost into the kingdom of God. The greatest joy of heaven is seeing men and women come into the kingdom of God, being born again. And our greatest responsibility here on earth is winning the lost to Jesus Christ. Let's look at that real quickly this morning. First of all, the greatest concern of hell. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells a story, not a parable, but a story. The story of the rich man and Lazarus. If you know that story, you know that there were these two men. One was rich, one was a beggar. They both died. The rich man ends up in hell. The beggar ends up in heaven. And the rich man in hell begins to make some requests. Look at it in Luke chapter 16, verse 24. The rich man shouted, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am in anguish in these flames." But Abraham said to him, "Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted and you are in anguish. And besides, there's a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over to you from here and no one can cross over to us from there." Then the rich man said, "Please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home, for I have five brothers, and I want to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment." The first thing that becomes obvious to us is that this man wants to know, is there any possible solution to the horrible place he finds himself in? Is there any way to alleviate his pain? He's suffering. He's in this place of torment, this place of flame, this place that we call hell that Jesus refers to, that Jesus teaches us about here. And it says that he asked this question. He says, "Father Abraham, if you could just send Lazarus," that's the name of the beggar, "if you could just send this guy who once begged under my table for the scraps that I had, if you could send him here to just dip his finger in some water and touch the tip of my tongue, for I am tormented in this place." Can you imagine what hell must be like? If one drop of water on the tip of the tongue would somehow be soothing. I mean, I don't know about you. I've burned myself a few different times in life, you know, around the kitchen or whatever. And, you know, the first thing you want to do is put your hand under the water and let the cold water just keep running and running and running. I don't want just a drop of water. I want to just, you know, cover it and cover it and cover it. There have been times when maybe you're out in the yard working in the heat of the summer and you're not really drinking and like you ought to, keeping yourself refreshed. And all of a sudden you realize, I'm really, really thirsty. And when you get really, really thirsty, you don't want just one drop of water. You're like, give me the whole glass. Give me a whole gallon, whatever it is. I want all that I can get. And yet this man is in such torment that he's saying, if it's possible to alleviate my suffering with just one drop of water, would be like, it would feel awesome. It would be a comfort to me. You know, there's a lot of people who don't want to believe in hell anymore. It's interesting. I saw some Barna statistics from 2020 that says just a little over half of Americans don't know where they will go after they die. Don't know if they're going to heaven. Don't know if they're going to hell. Don't know if they're just going to evaporate into nothingness. Don't know. They said, but only 2% believe that they'll actually go to hell. Because most people really don't believe in hell anymore. How many of you believe in the Word of God this morning? I believe in the Bible. I believe in the Word of God from Genesis 1:1 all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. I believe every bit of it. It's God's plan. It's got the answers to every question that we have, everything that we need to know to successfully make it to this life, through this life, and experience what God has for us in eternity. The answers are all there. We can't pick and choose what we want. It's not a salad bar. It's not a buffet. It's all there, and we need it all. And I believe every bit of the Word of God. So if we believe the whole Word of God, the whole counsel of God, the whole all of Scripture, that means that we've got to believe in the teachings on hell as well. Jesus taught it. He talked about hell openly and described it, you know, a place of fire and torment and a horrible place that nobody wants to be. You can't believe the Word of God and not believe hell. You can't believe that Jesus is the Messiah and not believe in hell. You can't believe that the cross is meaningful and purposeful and not believe in hell. You just got to take the whole thing. It's all there. When this rich man realizes that he's not going to get any relief, he has one great concern, and that is for his lost friends and family, his loved ones, his brothers particularly. He says, if there's nothing that you can do for me, if my eternity is fixed forever and there's nothing that can change it, then can you do something about my brothers who are still living and their eternity is not fixed yet? They still have a chance to make a change in their life. Would you send Lazarus to my five brothers and warn them lest they come to this place? The greatest concern of hell is soul winning. If hell could speak to us today, if it could open up and the voices could stand in front of us, they would beg and they would plead with us, the church, the body of Christ, Christians, and say to us, what are you doing to reach the lost of this world who are dying every minute and entering into eternity? What are you doing to make sure that they don't come to this place called hell? Now, sometimes you'll hear somebody real snarky saying, well, if I go to hell, I'll have plenty of company. Let me just tell you something today. Hell doesn't want any more company. Hell doesn't want anybody else there. They want us to do our job to make sure that nobody else dies and goes to hell. The greatest concern of hell is soul winning. Secondly, the greatest joy of heaven. That's also soul winning. If you back up one chapter from Luke chapter 16 to Luke chapter 15, Jesus shares three parables there in that chapter about lost things. There's the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. In the parable of the lost sheep, the shepherd has 100 sheep, but only 99 make it safely back into the fold. There's one that's missing. There's one that's lost. He goes out into the dark of night. He leaves the 99 where they are, and he goes after that one that is lost, and he does not return until he finds him. And when he finds him, he brings him home, and he rejoices that his one is now found. The one lost sheep is now found. In the parable of the lost coin, there's a widow lady who has a coin that's valuable to her, and she's lost it, and she turns her house upside down. She sweeps out everything. She looks in every corner, every crevice, until she finally finds the lost coin. And when she does, she rejoices and even calls her neighbors and said, "Rejoice with me because the coin that I lost, I found it." The parable of the lost son, we call it the parable of the prodigal son. It's a son who made a decision to leave his father's house and live life the way he wanted to live it. He wastes his inheritance and he ends up in a pig pen. And at the lowest place in life, he finally comes to his senses and he says, I need to go back home. Things are better at my father's house. And when he comes home, the father's waiting for him with outstretched arms. Literally runs to where he is, the scripture says, wraps his arms around him, hugs him, welcomes him home. Says, bring shoes for his feet and a ring for his finger and a robe for his back and kill the fatted calf and let's rejoice because my son that was lost is found. He that is dead is now alive. Those parables tell us something. They tell us something about the love of God for the lost. I want to tell you today, if you're lost today, God loves you. He loves you with all of heaven's love. With all of the love that brought Jesus to a cross in order that you might have eternal life. Jesus loves you today. No matter how bad you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how bad you might feel about yourself, I want to tell you today, God loves you and he's got a good plan for your life if you'll just surrender to him. He wants you to be found. But these three parables, they also teach us something else, and that is what heaven rejoices over. It says in verse 7 there that Jesus says, in like manner, he says, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Listen, I love coming to church like this. I love being with you, worshiping. We've had a great time together, you know. Prophetic words, worship, teaching, preaching, fellowship, communion. Oh, that's wonderful. But you know, the Bible never tells us that heaven rejoices over any of that. What it does say is when somebody comes home, when somebody gets saved, when someone's born again, heaven throws a party. Heaven rejoices. The greatest concern of hell is soul winning. The greatest joy of heaven is soul winning. And the greatest responsibility that we have on earth is soul winning. In Mark chapter 5, Mark tells the story of Jesus coming to a place where there was a man living. He was called the demoniac of Gadara, a man who had thousands, literally thousands of demons that tortured him. He's described as one who lived in the cemetery. He would cut himself. He would cry out in agony in the midst of the night. They tried to control him. He would break chains and ropes under the influence of these demons. He was a miserable man. And Jesus comes to the shore to where he is. And in short order, Jesus takes authority over the situation, casts out the demons. And the Bible says that when the townspeople came to see what was going on, they found this man clothed and sitting and in his right mind. God had just totally set him free, delivered him. He was saved. He was born again. And this man had a response like you could imagine. He says, I want to go wherever you're going, Jesus. I mean, if you've done this for me here, I just want to be with you wherever you go. Can I just follow you? Can I be a part of your ministry? And this is what Jesus says to him. He says, no, I've got something that's more important for you to do than to just travel along with me. Here's what I need you to do. He says, I want you to go home and I want you to tell your friends and your family what the Lord has done for you. And so the Bible says that the man went away and he began to tell in Decapolis, that's the place where he lived, how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Because the greatest responsibility that we have here on earth is soul winning. It's what Jesus came to do. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's what Jesus commanded us to do, the Great Commission. Go and teach all nations. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel, the good news. That's the promise. That's what the Bible has told us that we're supposed to do. It's the commission that God has given us to do. And so if we're not interested in soul winning, we're not really interested in what Jesus came to do. We're not really interested in doing what he's commanded us to do. It's a fateful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's what the cross is all about. That's why we're on this road to the cross, because it's the road to the cross. It's the cross that made a way for us to be saved, for us to be born again. And it's this road to the cross that demands of us that we do everything we can to reach everyone that is lost. So what is the greatest concern of hell? What's the greatest joy of heaven? What's the greatest responsibility here on earth? It's soul winning. But that begs the question, and that is, are we winning souls? Spirit Life Church, our mission statement, part of that is to reach the lost of Tulsa and the nations with the gospel. I'm glad that that's a part of our mission statement. But you know, just writing it down doesn't make it so. Have you figured that out? Sometimes people write things down that they're going to do and they never do it. Sometimes churches write down mission statements, say, same great on paper, but they never do it. I'm glad to tell you today that Spirit Life Church really is winning souls. In the last couple of years, we've won nearly 300 people into the kingdom of God through our ministry. Praise the Lord. You did that. You did that because you care about people and you get it and you understand that it's our responsibility here on earth. But let me just tell you something. I'm greedy. I am. I'm greedy. I want more. I'm not satisfied with 300 in a couple of years. I'd like to see 300 every year. And I'll confess to you that when we get to the point that we're winning 300 people every year, I'm going to still be greedy. And I'm going to be going, hey, can we double that? Can we reach 500, 600 people? Until we've won everyone, every one of your friends, every one of your family members, every person that you work with, everyone that you go to school with, everybody that's in your neighborhood, everybody that's in your complex, everybody that you know, until they've all been won, I'm not going to be satisfied. And I don't think Jesus is either. Because it's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we want to help you to be effective in winning souls. We want to give you opportunities. We want to give you tools. We want to equip you the best that we can. You know, the majority of churchgoers, 56%, say that they pray for opportunities to share their faith. But that same group of people, that 50% say, yeah, they pray regularly to share their faith, they asked them, in the last month, have you talked to anyone about Jesus? Had a conversation about Jesus? It doesn't spell out whether it was talking to a Christian or talking to a sinner, just anybody. And it says that only 10%, 1 out of 10, had actually had a conversation about Jesus in the last month. We want you to have some conversations about Jesus. Now, I know that many of you, most of you, if not everybody here, is saying, Pastor, okay, I agree with you. I accept the premise of everything that you've got to say. I believe it's the greatest concern of hell. I believe it's the greatest joy of heaven. I believe it's the greatest responsibility on earth. We're supposed to win souls. But I just tell you what, I'm still uncomfortable with it. Listen, I want to tell you right now, I'm not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip. And I'm not trying to ask anybody to go out and knock on doors and talk to strangers that you don't know about Jesus. Because I don't think that that's the most effective way to win the lost. Now, there's some people who are gifted in that, and wonderful. That's great that we've got people who are gifted in evangelism who can do that. But here's what I see in the Bible repeatedly, and that is people who just talk to people that they already know, that they're already acquainted with, that they're already in your oikos circle, in your circle of influence, people that you know, your friends, your family, your coworkers, your neighbors, that you already know. They know you. They trust you. And you know that they're unchurched. Andrew meets Jesus in the Bible. He recognizes this guy, he's awesome. He's got to be the Messiah. And what does he do? It says that Andrew went and found his brother Peter and said, hey, you got to meet this guy. I just talked to you. You got to meet him. He didn't go to a stranger. Hey, let me get you to come. No. He goes to somebody he already knows. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. Easter is coming up. We're on this road to the cross. It's 4 weeks away. What I want to see happen on Easter, I want to see a big harvest of souls come into the kingdom of God here at Spirit Life Church. Would anybody else like to see that? Am I the only one? Would anybody else like to see that happen? Yeah. And so we're going to do everything we can to make that possible. We want to equip you, help you. We're going to have the most awesome Easter service here that we know how to have. We're going to do things that we think are going to be fun, that unchurched and unsaved people will go, hey, I enjoyed going to that church just because they had, you know, whatever. You know, they had a train for my kid to ride. We're going to have a train for the kids to ride. They had the best Easter egg hunt that I've ever been to. We're going to have two Easter egg hunts that day. We're going to preach the gospel that morning. We're going to talk to people about the life-changing message, the difference that it makes from the garden to the tomb and the resurrection beyond that. We're going to talk about all of that. We're going to share the message of Jesus. And we want to give you some materials and help you to invite your friends and your family to come and to be a part of it. We're going all out just like we've done in the past. We're going to need a lot of help. Over here on the left side of the room, there's a table that's set up. It's got all kinds of teams. Last week, we talked about the importance of teams, the importance of volunteering, the importance of serving. You know, some people say, I'd volunteer, but I know what will happen. If I ever volunteer, it's a lifetime commitment. They'll never let me off the hook. I'll always be doing it, and I don't want to be stuck for the rest of my life doing something in church. Listen, you don't have to do this for the rest of your life. You don't have to do it for a year. You don't have to do it for 6 months, 3 months, or 3 weeks. We're asking for one day. For one day, would you be willing to sit one and serve one? For you in the second service, that means coming in the first service and serving, and then coming back in the second service and enjoying and just sitting and receiving and taking it all in. Sit one, serve one. One day that you'd say, hey, I'll be a part of one of these teams, a part of the media team, a part of the egg hiding team. There are all kinds of things, ushers and greeters and parking lot attendants and with a train and follow up. There's all kinds of ways that you can involve. And I just want to encourage you to do that because, listen, here at Spirit Life Church, Easter's coming. But Easter is not about us. Easter at Spirit Life Church is about the unchurched. It's about us winning the lost and bringing them into the kingdom of God. You know, there are three ways that you can personally invite people to come to church. I've shared this with you before, but hey, you need to hear it again because you've already forgotten. Anybody know what I'm getting ready to say? Of course you don't. I haven't even told you yet. Three ways to invite people to church is come sit with me, come serve with me, or come see me. Just come sit with me. Just be here with me. Maybe you're serving on a team. And, hey, would you help me out? We need some more helpers. Would you interested in coming in and helping? I heard the story of a guy who actually got invited to be on a parking lot team at a church. He shows up the very first Sunday, never been in church, didn't even go into church that day. He just served in the parking lot all Sunday. Next week he was back, served in the parking lot. Next week he was back, served in the parking lot. Weeks went by. And he came into the church for the first time, and weeks went by, and he gave his heart to Jesus because somebody said, come serve with me. Come sit with me. Come serve with me. Come see me. I'm going to be in the church. I'm going to be in the program. I'm going to be doing stuff, and I'd love for you to come and be a part. It would mean all the world to me. And we invite people to come to church. I want to just close this message this morning and basically two directions, two responses that I'm asking of you. One is, would you be willing to serve? Would you be willing, if really the greatest concern of hell is that we win people into the kingdom of God, if really the thing that will make heaven throw a party is winning people into the kingdom of God, if really the greatest responsibility that we have on earth is winning souls into the kingdom, would you be a part of the team that's going to pull the nets together, that's going to bring in the harvest for that Easter Sunday? Would you be willing to sign up and say, I'm willing to serve that day? In just a few minutes, we're going to be closing the service, and I'd love to see every one of you make your way over to that side of the room and sign up and be a part of a team for that day. There's a second thing that we need everyone to do, and that is when you came in this morning, you found these cards sitting on your seat. And I just want to go over these quickly with you. For some of you, this is old hat. We've done this before. This isn't brand new. For some of you, you're new into our church. You've never seen this before. And so let me just go over it for the sake of the new folks that are here. But some of you folks could be reminded as well. On the one side of this larger card, this is a prayer card. On the one side of this card, it's got a place where you can write down five names. Now, maybe you know 10 people and you can put two on a name, on a row. Maybe right now the Holy Spirit's only really laying two people on your heart, but he's really laying those people on your heart. And you would write down those names. I just want you to start thinking about that. And right now, while I'm talking, start writing some names down. And on the back of the card, it says what you're going to do about it. There's three things we're asking you to do. Number one, you're going to pray every day between now and Easter for those that are on the list. Is that too much to ask for you to pray for people to come into the kingdom of God? I don't think so. I think we can all do that. Number two, you're going to invite them to come to Easter at Spirit Life Church on Easter Sunday, the 4th of April. And number three, you're going to invite them to come again and to join you for a guest meal. That's the week following. You're just going to say, hey, come back. We're going to have this great dinner. I'd love for you to be my guest. So we're asking you to do three things. Write their names down and then pray for them, invite them to come, and then invite them to come back. And then we say what we're committing to as the church, as the staff here, that we covenant with you that we're going to fast and we're going to pray every day between now and Easter for these names that you put down. We're going to provide an Easter experience that you can be proud of. You're not going to be embarrassed when you bring your friends that day. It's not going to be something you're going to be embarrassed about. Like, oh man, I invited my friends and this is what it was. No, it's going to be great. You're not going to be embarrassed. And number three, we're going to share the gospel. I promise you, we are going to share the gospel that day. We're going to give people a chance to come into the kingdom of heaven and invite them back, do everything we can to get them back to Spirit Life Church. We're giving you, there's three of these, but we've got many, many more. If you need more, you can get, we'll print more if we need to print more. But these are just little invite cards. Just gives the basic information about some of the stuff that we're doing that day. Take these three that you've got. Get some more if you think you need more. Get a dozen, get two dozen. However many you think you've got friends. Now, I'm not asking you to get 100 and slide them under the windshield wiper blade at Walmart and run. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about putting them personally in somebody's hands, looking them in the eye and saying, I want to invite you to come see me, come sit with me, come serve with me at Spirit Life Church on Sunday. Would you be willing to come? I don't think you're going to church anywhere. We got a great church. I think you'd love it. We got some of the most friendly people in the world. Come on, somebody say amen. 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 And so come and be a part. So we want to give you, we're giving you these tools to use to invite people to come to church on Easter Sunday. If you've already, some of you have already started writing down some names on your card. If you haven't done that, just start writing now the names as the Lord is giving you the answer. Some of you are going to fill that card up. Some of you are only going to put down two or three names. Some of you may be thinking, well, I wrote this name down at the last big event that we had and they didn't actually come to church with me. Oh, I understand that. Write their name down again. If the Lord's still laying them on your heart to love on them and to invite them to come, write their name down again. This could be their moment. We don't want them to miss out on it. In just a moment, what I'm going to ask you to do, we're going to pray and I'm going to ask you to take your prayer card over to the cross. It's over here to my right, to your left. And there's some tape there. We did this in the past, and we used thumbtacks. And we found out that the wood's pretty hard. Some of you, you had bruised thumbs trying to push those thumbtacks in. So we tested it out, and the tape holds. So, but what we're doing is this is the road to the cross. This is like the first step of the road to the cross and the soul winning and bringing people into the kingdom of God. We're writing their names down and we're bringing them to the cross. We're bringing them to Jesus. We're saying, Holy Spirit, win them into the kingdom. Draw them, Holy Spirit, into the kingdom of God. Would you join with me in prayer? And then I'm just going to let you begin to do that. And then we're going to just pray over all the names that are on the cross. And then we're going to dismiss. With your head bowed, before we pray for the folks that you're going to put their name on the cross, there may be some folks that you're here today, right now. Maybe there's some folks you're watching us right now online. And you're one of those lost. You're one of those lost sons, one of those lost sheep. And God loves you. And he's been chasing you down to bring you home. And you're ready to surrender your life to Jesus and make him your Lord and Savior. If there's anyone here today, you're ready to make that decision. You know that you need Jesus more than you need the next breath that you're about to breathe. You know that you need Jesus to change your life. You're not satisfied with the direction that it's going. You've tried your own way. You've tried doing your own thing. And like the prodigal son, you figured out it doesn't work. It's brought you to disaster and ruin. And you're ready for somebody, for Jesus, to pick up the pieces of your life and put it all back together again. If you're here today and you're ready to surrender your life, you need to be saved. You're ready to get saved today. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Anyone in this place? Anyone here today? I don't see any hands lifted. Maybe online there are those. That's really what you're doing. You're kind of lifting your hand right now. Would you just join with me in this prayer and invite Jesus into your heart? And if you're in this room and you didn't raise your hand, but you know that that's what you need to do, right where you are, would you invite Jesus into your life right now? Just pray this simple prayer. Dear Jesus, I come to you now. I confess I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I need to be found. I need salvation. Jesus, I believe that you went to the cross for me. You died on a cross in my place to pay the penalty for my sin. And I receive your gift of eternal life right now. Wash me, cleanse me, forgive me. Lord, thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you that you are now my Savior. Help me to live for you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome. Welcome to the family of God. Here's what I want you to do. You've had some time to write down some names. Let's just take about the next 2 minutes. Just bring those names over and let's just begin to tape them to the cross along with those that are already there. Can you just begin to do that with me right now? Heaven is pleased today when it looks down and it sees this line of people and sees these cards being taped, because I believe that heaven is anticipating that the sacrifice of Jesus and the blood that he shed is going to be sufficient. Folks are coming into the kingdom of God. There's going to be a resurrection Sunday, and it's not just going to be about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's going to be about the new birth, a resurrection of real life that's happening in folks' lives. Dozens and dozens, maybe hundreds of names being added to the cross. Maybe as you're sitting there, you're thinking, well, I've only got one or two names down. If you want to bring those one or two, bring them on up. Holy Spirit may lay some more names on your heart. You may want to take a card with you. I think we've got enough laying around. Take a card with you and write it down. As you go through the week, as the Holy Spirit reminds you, just write their name down and start praying for them. Bring the card back next week. Add it to the cross. I want to ask you to stand with me this morning. There are folks that are still coming. Still adding names to the cross, but we're going to close the service. I'm going to ask our prayer team if you'll come and join me down at the front. There may be some folks that are here today and you came with some burdens. You came brokenhearted. You came needing something from the Lord and you want someone to stand with you and pray for you. Prayer team, if you come and just join me here at the front. Here's what's getting ready to happen. We're going to close this service in prayer. We're going to pray over these names on the cross. We're going to pray for ourselves. The Lord's going to give us the opportunities to invite. Some of you may still be going over here and adding some more names to the cross. Some of you, many of you, are going to make your way to your right. You're going to go to the table and you're going to sign up. Thank you so much for doing that. We'll be contacting you and sharing with you all that you need to do.